The help of the Lord, a desire that we would turn together to Mark chapter 11, Gospel of Mark chapter 11, for our reading this morning, and begin with verse number 27 to the end.
Bratje naše, da se čita iz Svetog Evanđelja po Marku iz 7. glave, 11. glave. Sveto Evanđelje po Marku 11. glava od 27. stiha i nadalje.
And they come again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and say unto him, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. And they reasoned within themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say, Why then did ye not believe him? But if we shall say of men, they feared the people, for all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. And they answered and said unto Jesus, We cannot tell. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. Lord, bless the reading of his word, and may we bow before the Lord in prayer. The verses that we've read begin, And they come again to Jerusalem. Jesus and his disciples are coming back to Jerusalem and to the temple the day after Christ purged the temple from the tables and the seats of those who exchanged money, who made a commotion, who were talking one with another, distracting from the worship of God and making the temple a den of thieves. Jesus proclaimed that His Father's house was to be a house of prayer. And he purged and cleansed that temple. And the next day he's returning. And I wonder how quiet, how eerily quiet it was in those courts. Without the commotion, without the noise and the distractions of those who are looking to get gain. And Jesus is entering the temple again. And now that the distractions have been put away, he is no doubt looking forward to teaching the people, perhaps even leading them in prayer to God. He's coming again. And he's coming again today. For everyone who has prepared the temple of their hearts to remove the distractions and take away the things that would turn us away from the truth of God, He is ready and willing to come to you and to me and to lead us and teach us His ways, to lead us, as it were, in prayer. He's coming, and He's willing. And each of us who are part of the new covenant of God's grace and mercy, know the joy of the fellowship of Jesus Christ and what it is to be near to Him, to be close to Him, to have Him teach us. And we know the value to our souls that His presence brings. And we know that there must be a hunger for Him to come near. In the quiet part of your heart and my heart, to teach us, to reveal the word, and to teach us how to pray, to teach us how to ask from God what we need, to teach us how to walk, how to live. And it's that fellowship that's so sweet that we hunger for, and that even in this very moment, we pray in the Spirit to God for, to lead us, because the Word's open to us, and He's willing to teach us. He's willing to come to everyone who wants to worship Him in spirit and in truth and teach us how to do that in our worship service and in our daily lives. He's coming again to teach. He's coming again to the temple. In anticipation, the crowds are perhaps wondering, what will Jesus do this time? How can He top what He did the day before? What could break such a beautiful picture of Jesus coming in the quiet places of our hearts? To open up afresh and anew the things that we know that He has taught and present it to us in a way that we embrace it and love it and live it. This is the prayer of mine, and I hope we would each be able to take that prayer for ourselves, that we would receive, each and every one of us, especially those of you who do not know the Lord, that you would receive the love of the truth and be saved. This story is sad because the teachers, the elders that knew the Word did not receive a love of the truth. And they left this encounter with Jesus with anger, with hatred and bitterness in their hearts. They left with no salvation. They left with no hope, and they left with no future. We are coming to the end of a year. How are we leaving this year? What have the encounters with Jesus Christ brought us? If they have not been mingled with a love of the truth that is found in Jesus Christ, we'll leave with bitterness. We'll leave with discouragement. We'll leave with the motives that the teachers at this time had, that they had more pleasure in debate of silly topics instead of desiring a truth that would change their life and bring them to repentance and bring them hope. That Jesus Christ would fill all of their thoughts and dreams, their aspirations for the future, and their prayers for themselves and for their families. Has He done that this year? Does He fill their hopes for next year? Is He the center and the goal and the one word that would describe everything that we long for if God gives us a new day and a new year? Love the truth and receive salvation for your souls. If you reject the truth, you will be left empty, just like these that had their heads full of the Word, but did not receive it and embrace it, make it their own, and receive the blessing that it has. Don't reject Jesus Christ again. These teachers demanded of Jesus to know what authority He had to clear the temple, to teach these things. And they had the right to ask and to probe and to seek to understand who is teaching in the temple. They had that right and that responsibility to do that. But we see time and time again that they are not interested inquirers. They're not curious or careful teachers. They're envious. They're competitive. And they want to destroy Jesus Christ. They want to embarrass Him in front of the crowds. And so they ask this question: what right do you have to come and tell us what to do? Jesus responds in a way that's consistent with His mission and everything that He came to do. Do you know what His mission was? Do you know what He came to do? Do you know that His words are in aligned with those things? He told Pilate, when Pilate was questioning Him, "Are you a king?" He said, "This is the reason that I came, to bear witness unto the truth. Jesus begins responding to these teachers. And he doesn't answer them directly with the words, "This is where the authority comes from." Because that sort of argument would have been rejected. Oh, you're just saying that. You could say anything you want. Sure. So he begins building his argument based on the testimony that had already been given. John the Baptist had been teaching, and he told the delegation that came from Judea that questioned John the Baptist, "Who are you? What are you doing?" He said, I'm one that's crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. I'm not the one, but there is one coming that I must bow down to, that must increase and I must decrease. He's coming, and I'm not worthy, and you're not worthy to stoop down and loosen the latchet of his shoes. He testified that when Jesus Christ came, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." John the Baptist testified the truth that Jesus Christ was the Savior. He's the Messiah. He's the one sent from God to save his people from their sins. And so, if John came from heaven, if his message came from heaven, then they had to believe that message that John had of Jesus. He could have used also perhaps his own works. Perhaps Jesus could have brought the blind Bartimaeus that he had just healed as he passed through Jericho. He said, "Blind Bartimaeus, come up here. Tell everyone what had happened." And everyone would know. Who heals the blind? Can anybody do that but God? Maybe he could have brought the leper that he had cleansed and told, "Go to the priest and offer a sacrifice that Moses commanded." And asked the scribes, "Which one of you scribes looked back at the Old Testament and went through the process of receiving this person that had been cleansed? And who did you give credit to for this cleansing? Was it God? Well, I did that healing." Now you know. Because his works testified of him. And John testified of him. And he could have brought all of these things to bear. So he just asks a simple question. If you're willing to receive the testimony of the truth, we can take the next step. And you can receive something for your soul. That's where you begin. That's where you start. They knew the truth. They heard it time and time again. But they did not receive a love of the truth that they could be saved. The authority that Jesus Christ had was given to him by his Father. The command and the words that he had spoken, he spoke what he had heard from his Father. What he had seen his Father do, he did. And he is the one. He is the Savior. And one of the reasons that this passage is so sad is that the only hope that these men had of salvation, the only way of redemption, the only way to forgiveness of their sins and reconciliation with God, the only way that they could come into that temple, not with their physical bodies, but in spirit, and worship the Lord, was through him. And because they resisted the love of the truth, he could not answer their question. Could not answer their prayer. He could not address what they were talking about. When we are missing out, when we are empty of direction, of instruction, of teaching, it is only because we resist the love of the truth Jesus' words are enough to guide and direct a sinner to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, in that precious salvation that Jesus Christ came to bring. Jesus' words and teachings are enough to direct each and every believer into the love of God and to patient waiting for Jesus Christ in his return, that we might be adorned with the fruit of the Spirit. When we reject the truth, we miss out on this great blessing. And we cannot have fellowship, we cannot receive an answer to our prayer, just like in this sad account. We cannot receive the truth that Jesus Christ stands with believers who love the truth, who seek to follow Jesus Christ and his example, and are questioned by the world. We cannot receive the comfort and consolation that Jesus Christ himself stands with that soul when they are questioned by the world and provides the right words and the right response. We miss out so much if we do not receive the love of the truth. We miss out on salvation and we have no future if we do not receive the word of Jesus Christ. And one of the wonders is that I would say that almost, certainly all of us know, there's nothing new that you need to get or need to learn. There's many things that you know already. You've been under the teaching of God's word. The difference is that it needs to be mingled with faith and a receiving in love. That you would love the things that Jesus loves. That your heart would be stirred for the things that are valued in heaven and are precious in God's sight. You would allow that to change your life, bring you to the place where God wants us to do justice, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God and live a fulfilled life of Jesus in walking in the steps of our Savior. He bears witness of the truth, and there's so much of the truth that we know already. May God kindle the flame and that burning flax, that smoldering flax, or maybe that bruised reed that is so weak. May he strengthen the things that we know and the things that remain, that we might take hold of them boldly, take hold of them firmly, that we would pursue after the high calling of Jesus Christ and the glory that he offers. That we might have hope, that you might be able to claim a hope of eternal life, that you might, as the brother prayed, have a hope that when the last trump sounds, that you would be joining in our Lord in the fellowship and worship of our God forever and not be reserved unto the flames of torment and destruction that burn and eat away at the heart and the conscience. That you would be free from that. That the love of the truth would make you free. This is found in Jesus Christ and him alone. It's not found in a wonderful speech. It's not found in the words of men or the wisdom of men. And it's not found in the trying of how hard you work. It's receiving it. Just do it. With a sincere heart. Not because somebody told you, but because God is telling you. And you want to listen to God. And you love the truth that he brings. When you love the truth that he brings, you won't be offended at his cross. And you will see the two ways that stand before you. And you will see one that is filled with many crosses. But you will love it. Because it is the way of hope. It is the way of truth. And it is the way that brings honor to your Creator. And as a way that through which according to the testimony of the Scripture, that the Spirit of God might speak and influence your life, that you might be a citizen of the kingdom of God, that you might embrace that and fulfill the purpose for which he has called you and me. Jesus is testifying of the truth, and we know the truth. May it be that we love the truth and embrace it. And that you might be saved. It's a hope and a prayer. If you could see what God has done for you, read chapter 12. Read all the things that the Lord had done for Israel. He provided for them, just like a wonderful man who owns a vineyard, prepared and provided for the protection, the safety, the nourishment for his vineyard. Oh, the things that God has done for us. Oh, the hedge that he has built around us. Do we love it? Do we love that protection and the strength that he provides? Do we love to know that Jesus Christ, he spoke about Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How many times would I have brought you under? Like a hen brings her chicks underneath her wings. Oh, but you would not. Because they did not love the truth. But oh, what a comfort and a joy and a blessing to each and every heart that wants to worship God in spirit and in truth, that draws nigh to Jesus Christ, inviting him into the quiet place of their hearts, that he might speak to them, that he might make that word alive to them, that he might pray that the words that they've heard over and over, the invitation would have an impact. What a comfort. To know that while the world is going crazy and the world is headed for destruction, that our souls are held safely in the arms of Jesus Christ, our Savior. These are the truths that the Lord wants us to know and to experience, not just to hear, but to embrace. The Lord testifies of the truth. A simple goal, a simple mission, and it always has the same results. When we're honest with ourselves, and when we're honest with the Scripture, it always has the same results. And that is one of the other missions of Jesus Christ, that he would come to lighten every man that comes into the world. That he would be able to shine a light unto the condition of fallen man, unto the hearts of men, unto the dilemma that man has without God. And that is that there is very simple. There are two ways before you. One of simple faith and humble believing and trust in the Spirit of God to reveal how his word is to take root into our lives and to bring fruit into our lives. And the other is anything else. That is what these teachers are being approached with. It's not a subtle or difficult to understand or complicated thing that they are presented with. Simply a choice between two that will make all the difference. Will you believe that the Word of God is an inspired word from heaven? If you can embrace that, then you can take the next step. That Jesus can be your Savior. If Jesus is your Savior, you can continue walking in him, trusting in his power, in his leading, he might make you citizen of the kingdom of God. The other option that they have, that they were grappling with, was the fear of men. Jesus presents the options in his parable of the sower. He says that one heart loves ignorance and doesn't care about the word, and Satan takes it away. One person fears men and the torture and the difficulty that men will bring, and they're offended. Another one loves pleasure and fills their lives with all of the things that distract and crowd out the word of God to satisfy the flesh, chokes out the word. But the last and glorious ground that the word falls upon is the good ground. And that is the ground of simple faith, simple trust, simple obedience that Jesus Christ preaches time and time again. And that these teachers rejected over and over and over and over successfully. But so unsuccessfully. Because they trapped themselves in their own wisdom, in their own cunning, and they couldn't even have an answer to say between two options. Because we don't like what we see, and we can't embrace the truth, is essentially what these men ended up doing. So as the Lord testifies of the truth, and as the word of God comes back to your mind, now in this hour and in the hour of temptation, when you need to hear Jesus Christ speaking his words of wisdom, his words of encouragement and enlightenment, so that you can resist and that you can chart your course with direction and wisdom and spiritual health, you need to hear him. Love his truth. And he will provide. And he will shine the light on the way of simple faith and simple obedience. And he will shine that light. And as you would place your trust and hope in him to direct and guide your steps as you live, you will find that that is a path of peace with God, peace with men, contentment for your souls, fulfillment, and everlasting joy. Love the truth that your soul might be saved. Don't reject it. Don't turn away from the light that is presented when Jesus illuminates your heart. They turned away. How does the story end? How did these men leave? What did they have in their hearts when the meeting with Jesus was over? What do I have in my heart when my opportunity to listen, when my opportunity to heed the warning is over? What do we say when the year is over? Some areas perhaps have brought a growth in our faith. In some areas we can see all too easily that there's much room for improvement. The message is still the same. You have an opportunity to bow down at the shoes latchet of the Savior, of your King, of your Messiah, to ask, to seek, and to knock, to ask Him to plant within your heart a love for the truth. You would not kick against the pricks, but that you would receive salvation for your soul. May God impress upon our hearts in the sober warning that the example of these men gives, that we would hurry, that we would quickly humble ourselves before the Lord and receive from Him a love of the truth and the salvation for our souls. Amen.
Christ and question His authority. The thing that they didn't understand is that He come in authority because His Heavenly Father gave Him this authority. They wouldn't accept anything He had, for that matter. And so it is no wonder that they would question who gave Him this authority. But it's interesting how He has chose to answer them by asking them also a question. But you know, even in this day and age, we must recognize His authority. And the only way that we can recognize that authority is through the Spirit which guides and leads us. That's why He writes in John, He said that it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. And then He said, therefore I say unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Heavenly Father. So let us recognize the authority of our Lord and Savior. It is through Him that we have our soul salvation. He can forgive us our sins. He can give us the words of truth and life. Amen.